You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
I'm Will Wilsonson here with MC3 News, and this just is breaking news. How will you respond? More on that in a moment as we go live to the scene at Mifflin County Community Church, where our own Sean Fitch is waiting with the report.
So, on October, I think it was 8th, 2021, a report went out. Actually, no, it was October 17th, 2021. A report went out at 8 p.m. for a missing hiker on Colorado's Mount, Elbert, I believe is how you pronounce it. And it is the tallest mountain peak in Colorado. It's 14,000 feet, which is high, I guess. So it was pretty bad. And so at 8 o'clock p.m., this report went out, a call went out to find this lost hiker because he had been gone, didn't return back to where he was supposed to be. And so the rescue authorities made multiple phone calls to his cell phone. They texted him multiple times. They left voicemails, and there was no response. So a couple hours later, by 10 o'clock p.m., they sent out a rescue crew. And that rescue, that search team went and looked for this hiker in the normal spots where you would typically get lost. And they were out till about 3 a.m. and couldn't find him, so that then they came back. And still there was no signs, still no answers to the phone calls, no responses to the text. So the authorities sent out another crew at 7 a.m. And at 7 a.m., this crew went out looking to find him. And around 9:30 that morning, he was discovered back at his hotel. And in fact, he had gone out hiking and had gotten lost. But when he was going, he lost track of where he was, and eventually just kind of wandered throughout the night and found the trailhead that got him back to his vehicle. So he got back to his hotel. There were 32 different people involved in this rescue effort to try to find this guy, and again, multiple phone calls went through to his cell phone. He got the calls, but didn't answer them because he didn't recognize the number. True story. And so he could have been rescued right away. And, of course, the 32 different people that were involved in the rescue effort, in the hunt for him, wouldn't have been necessary. And the man hours that went into it and all the frantic people that were trying to find this guy. But he didn't recognize the number, so he ignored the texts, the phone calls, and the voicemails. See, the rescue call went out, but he didn't respond. And this morning, we are going to be wrapping up our breaking news series. And the point that I want you to get, as you already heard from the final episode or the final opener from Will Wilsonson, is that the breaking news is, how will you respond? How will you respond? And so that's where we're going to go, and I'm going to take this off because it's so heavy. Uh-oh. Because I've got a pillow in here to make it look like I'm carrying stuff. But this series comes from one of many passages in the New Testament. But Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Mark's perspective on the life of Jesus. Mark records this. He says, "This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." That's the NLT version, New Living Translation version. The NET version, New English Translation, says the beginning of the gospel. And this word good news, this or actually that's two words, but the word gospel or the two words good news are a Greek word, because this was written in Greek. That was the language they spoke. And the Greek word is euangelion. Where we get the word evangelism. But the word, as I said each week, is that it was originally referring to a reward that was given to a messenger that brought good news. And eventually it became known as the good news itself. And so in church, if you've never been to church, if you've been to church before, but there's a phrase used a lot of times, and that's this phrase or this word, the gospel. And so this series is breaking down this good news, the breaking news of the gospel message, the story of this good news. And today's point, actually, the title is good news because we're finally at the ultimate part of all four parts of this series. And as I said, you know, with this hiker, we're offering the same thing to you. The question as we get to today, I'm just telling you, is a chance for you to respond, because there's a rescue call going out, but you have to respond to the call. You can't just get there. You can't just assume. And he ended up accidentally making his way back, but that's not always true. And so we're gonna come up to this point where you're going to have to answer the call. You're going to have to respond to that message. But before we do that, we're going to do, as we've done before previously, on breaking news. Just to catch you up on where we've been all 4 weeks of this series. And the very first week, it was breaking news, we are sinners. And we talked about how we, you and I, are sinners. Every person is a sinner. We do wrong things. Not only do we do wrong things, but we are born as wrong people. Again, no one had to teach you as an infant or as a child how to sin. No one had to teach a kid how to be selfish. Why? Because we're born sinners. And so we are sinners. And that comes from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And we've been using this whole series in Romans 3. And we're going to actually tie it all together in a few minutes. I'm excited about that. But Romans 3:23, Paul writes to the church in Rome, because that's what this was, a letter written to a church in Rome of followers of Jesus. He said, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." So Paul says, look, every person, everybody sins. We are not good enough. We are always short of God's goal of perfection. And that's what the word sin means, the church word, but it means to miss the mark of God's best. It literally has this idea of a target, and we don't hit the target, which is God's best for us. And anything outside of that is us going, no, I'm going to do it my own way. And we miss out. And next 2 months, we're going to do a series called Rotten, where we're going to spend 8 weeks looking at sin. And it's going to be rotten. It's going to be bad. But in that, there's hope. But the reason these things are rotten is because we want our own way. And when we are sinning, we are saying, I want my way and not God's way. And let me just tell you, we just sang a song, how he loves us. He loves us so much. And wanting us to obey isn't about God being all about the rules. It's about God wanting what's best for us. So anyway, we'll talk about that next month. But this idea of we are all sinners. Everyone is sinners. No one is good. And over in Romans 6:23, we said that Paul says this in chapter 6. He says, when you sin, the pay you get is death. So because of our sin, we are now separated from God. Because of our sin, we are dying. Before sin entered the world, before Adam and Eve chose to disobey, they would have lived forever. But they disobeyed God, and so there was physical death, and we deal with the consequences of, oh, we're working our way till death from the moment we're born. And, you know, depending on how far along you are on that path, you might realize it more than others. You know, you might realize some of these things, like, yeah, I'm feeling that. My back is sore. I felt like I lifted bricks yesterday, and I cannot think of anything I did, but I did sit down on the couch for a little bit, and I probably pulled a muscle doing that. But because I'm closer to death than some of you are, at least in terms of the calendar. But the whole point is that we are going to have physical death consequences, but there's also eternal death, where we're going to be separated from God forever in hell. And hell is not a pleasant place. We did a series called Burn a number of years ago that you can find on our website where we looked at hell. And hell sucks. Hell is awful. And it's separation from God. It's eternal agony and torment. And so because of our sin, we are separated from God. We cannot get to God. And then the second week, we talked about how we are helpless. Can you back me down a little bit? I'm sorry. How we are helpless. And see, there's this pervasive thought, especially as Americans, because we're Americans, is that we can earn our way to God. We can get back to God. Yeah, I'm a sinner, but you know what? As long as I do enough good things, I'll make it. As long as I go to church kind of regularly, God will be cool with me and say, come on in, don't worry about this hell thing. as long as I'm better, maybe I'm not good, but I'm better than other people. And so when it comes down to the scale, God's like, yeah, you know what? You are better than them. They're kind of a loser, so come on in. And this whole idea that we can earn our way, that we can be good enough, that we can be spiritual enough, that we can be churchy enough, that we can be religious enough. But the point is, we cannot, because we are absolutely helpless. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says this. He says, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands." The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Paul says, look, you can't do it on your own. You can't be made right. You can't get closer to God just by doing the right things. You can't get to God. You can't get into heaven. You can't wash away your sin just by being good. We are still sinners. And that's what we talked about on week two, that we are helpless. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that you can do to earn your way to God. And again, that seems so counterintuitive. Like we're like, no, as long as I'm good, as long as my good outweighs my bad, as long as it's 51-49, and we talked about, you know, the idea of we're all failures. And whether you fail with a 40% grade or a 20% grade, it's still failing grade. Because we are helpless. We can't do it. And so if we stop there, it's like, wow, this is miserable news. It really is. And there's nothing we can do about it. And why would this happen? And what about God? Doesn't he love us? Doesn't he care about us? Why would God send us to hell? And we said a couple weeks ago, and I think I said it last week as well, that, you know, that's just a misunderstanding. God never sent us to hell. We sent ourselves there. If you were perfect, you could be like, oh, okay, God, I'm perfect. I don't deserve hell. And if he said, okay, you're going to hell anyway. Okay, now you got that's a good argument. But we sent ourselves to hell. And so we said, God, why? How can we sing a song about how he loves us if we're all going to hell, if we are helpless and we can't even do anything about it? And the answer is what we talked about in week three, last week. And that is that we are forgiven. And a loving God doesn't want us to go to hell. He says, you can't do it, so I'm going to do it for you. You can't get to heaven on your own. There's nothing you can do about it, but I can do it for you. And so in Romans 3, verse 25, Paul says, God gave Christ, God came flesh, became Jesus, as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. He didn't become Jesus. He was always Jesus. But that's a whole other story about the Trinity. But the point is, God sent himself, sent his son Jesus to this earth as a sacrifice to pay for sins through the spilling of his blood. And we talked about last week, and you can go back and listen to this or watch the live stream. We talked about how Jesus had to come the way he did because he needed to be a good substitute for us, a suitable substitute, because an animal couldn't take our place. The only thing that could take a place of a human was a human. So God became a human. And the second thing we said is that, you know, just to take places, trade places with someone as a substitute wouldn't work if you're just trading off your own problems. So Jesus became human, but was also sinless. So when he took our place, we took his perfection, his righteousness, he took our sin on the cross. And he says, so God forgives the sins of those who have faith. And that italics, those who have faith, we'll come back to that in a moment. But the point was last week that we are forgiven. It is offered. The offer is put out there. But it on its own is not enough, as we're going to talk about in a second. The offer is out there for forgiveness. God through Jesus did what needed to be done so that we could be saved. We could be rescued from our sin. We could be rescued from hell. But that's not the end of the story. And at the end of last week, we looked at this passage and we were talking about the different people that are forgiven and how there's this whole, like, everybody's forgiven. We looked at different categories. And there was this scene we looked at in John chapter 4 where Jesus was at this well in the middle of the day in the area of Samaria, which rhymed, but that's cool because it just did. But here Jesus is sitting and talking to this Samaritan woman, and we don't have time to get into it, but the point was Jewish men never talked to women out in public, and certainly never to a Samaritan woman, because Samaritans were hated people. And so here Jesus intentionally went to this woman and was talking to her, and as we see here in verse 4, it says the woman was surprised, maybe it's not verse 4, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And again, this is kind of the cliffhanger that we left with last week. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you," and who you were speaking to, he says to this woman, if you understood what was happening right now, if you realized what I am offering to you, if you realize who it is that is speaking to you, he goes on and says, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And I just want to say that as we wrap this series up, as we look at the end of all this, do you realize who is talking to you? Do you realize what Jesus is offering to you? He is offering forgiveness. And if we realize that, then we should do what Jesus said. We wouldn't ask Jesus, I want what you've got. I want this living water. And he was using that as a metaphor to refer to eternal life with God in heaven. He says, if you realize what this means, you need to ask for it. You need to respond to it. And that is the point today. The breaking news is, how will you respond? Because just that Jesus did it is not enough. Let me be very clear. Forgiveness is available to all of us, to every person on this planet throughout history. But we need to respond to that forgiveness, because it doesn't just happen. And as we'll see in a moment, there are some things that we have to do. So this week, we're continuing in Romans chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 22. So if you have a paper Bible, we're going to turn on the house lights here. And the verses will be on the screen in the YouVersion app. Romans is just, you know, that's about 3/4 of the way through. And then tap on chapter 3, and we're going to be in verse 22. And this is what Paul writes in verse 22. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So let me break this down a little bit for you. First of all, this is the rescuer calling now. This is Jesus. This is the message. This is, you are lost. I was lost. We are lost in our sin. And we need to be rescued because we can't find our way back on our own. And so the rescuer is calling, saying, okay, I'm dialing. Are you going to pick up? Because if you pick up and answer, then you can be saved. You can be rescued from your sin. And so there's three things we see here. First of all, there's forgiveness from God, which is essentially a review of last week. Paul says there, we are made right with God. That's the first part. We are made right with God. And this idea, again, comes from what we were talking about last week. We actually had a series called Marked, and that's on the loop before and after the worship experience. We did a series called Marked, and we really broke that down and looked at what does it look like to be forgiven, to be made right with God, to be marked as right. And this is the idea of, you know, this idea of being made right with God is just another word for forgiveness. And as we said last week too, you know, you can't ask someone to forgive you. Like, you can't ask me to forgive me for what you did to your mom. You need to ask your mom for forgiveness. And so we have offended God. And so Jesus says, you're going to be made right with me. I'm the one that needs to offer the forgiveness. And so we are made right with God. It is available. We can fix it. It is possible. We are made right. The situation that was broken because of our sin can be fixed. So forgiveness from God. Now we're starting to get into, what does that look like? How does that work? How does that work? How do we do that? It's by faith in Jesus. By faith in Jesus. And so the second part of Romans 3:22 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to come to this in a little bit about what does that look like? How do we do that? How do we respond? And I'll walk you through those steps. But it's by placing our faith in Jesus. And see, that's the key. That's the phone call. Even though the rescuers were out looking for this hiker, they were trying to find him and say, as soon as we found him, they would bring him back to safety. Right? We realize that. They're not just like, hey, sorry, man, sucks to be you. You're lost. See ya. That was the helicopter. They flew away. I can do better than that. That sounded like a bird. They flew away on a bird. Anyway. Okay, so the rescuers were there saying, like, I am here to rescue you. But he was unable, he was unwilling to answer the call. And this is the call, saying Jesus is offering the rescue, but you need to answer the call. It's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. It takes faith in what Jesus did when he died in your place. And you can't earn it. Again, you can't earn this thing. It's simply through faith. You can't be like, okay, I know what you did, Jesus, on the cross, so I'm going to be really good, and hopefully you'll work it out. Like, no. It is simply through faith. What is faith? Believing that he did it. You're like, that's really easy. That's too simple. Yeah, it is. There's a fancy church word that we use for that. It's called grace. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But that's what God did for us. Why? Because he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. That's what he did. So forgiveness from God is available by faith in Christ. We can't earn our way there. We are helpless. And so Jesus says, I'm going to do it, but here's what you need to do. You need to believe. And so faith in Jesus is available. Sorry, forgiveness from God by faith in Jesus for, who is this for? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. And this is what Paul wraps up in verse 22. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone. And there's a caveat there. There's one little hook to that. And that's everyone who believes. Everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And as we said last week, like the list of types of people that God has forgiven is infinite. There is no person that is unable to be forgiven by Jesus. However, it requires belief. It requires us saying, yes, I agree that Jesus did this for me. I want what you've offered. And one of the ways in Ephesians, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, says, you know, we talked about how you can't earn it because it's a gift from God. You can't earn a gift. A gift is given because you don't deserve it. But the thing about a gift is that a gift is only yours if you actually take it and open it. Like I can offer, hey guys, I've got this wonderful box here behind door number one. And it's still going to be a box unless someone says, no, I want that. And then you get it and you open it. And, that's the classic, like, this is not really tied to the point, but just, you know, Christmas morning. Like, I love Christmas Eve, especially as a kid, and now as an adult, because I'm still a kid, I guess. But Christmas Eve, like, I don't know how you guys do it, but what we do is all, you know, the presents are always under the tree, and they're all there, wrapped up. And that box, man, wow. When I was a teenager, like, it wouldn't be a cell phone, because those didn't exist. But it might be my own phone line on my old Conair phone, which has the big old thing. It's like brightly colored with a really long cord so I can go to the closet and talk to somebody. Anyway, sorry, old guy. But it could be that. It could be keys to a car. We did have those when I was little. It could be anything at all. And there's excitement. And if it just sits there and I never take it, I never get to receive what it actually is. Now, again, this isn't part of the gospel message. This isn't part of the beautiful story of Jesus. But you open that gift on Christmas morning, and you're like, oh, I hope this is the car keys. It's these socks. Not even cool socks, just socks. So, like, let's close that up and put it back away. I don't want that gift. But the idea is that with a gift, it's only yours if you receive it. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what Paul is saying here about Jesus, is that it's true for everyone who believes. You believe, you receive. You receive, you say, I'm taking this gift, I want it. Again, if I offered something to you, and I mean, frankly, if I had a set of keys here and said, this is a brand new car, set of keys for a brand new car, the keys, they don't use that anymore. Here's my thumbprint for a brand new car. And if you just want to take my thumb, no. Anyway, but if you don't take it, it's not yours. And you can't say, oh yeah, I've got this incredible car. Well, where is it? Well, I never actually took the gift. So it's not your car. You with me on that? You need to receive this message. You need to take it. And how does that happen? It is by believing in what Jesus did. Saying, Jesus, I believe what you did. So, that is the rescue story. The rescuer is calling and saying, okay, the phone call is being made. The forgiveness has happened. It's from God by faith in Jesus for everyone who believes. That's how this works. That's why this is called euangelion, which is two Greek words, and one is news and one is good. Actually, message and good. Good news, good message. This is good because it's hope. It's hope for us. So, this is fun for me. It might not be fun for you. But let's look at how all these pieces from Romans 3 fit together, just kind of as a quick summary, a quick thought here. But I'm going to be in Romans 3, starting in verse 9. And this is the NLT version. So Paul says this. So this is all 4 weeks of this series in Romans chapter 3 kind of brought together. And beginning in verse 9, we see that Paul says, well, then what should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? He's Jewish. Paul is Jewish. And he's saying, okay, so are Jews better than others because Jesus was Jewish? And there was kind of this controversy in the early church. And so that's what he's talking about here. But it matters because the people that are not Jewish, there's a phrase for that. They're called Gentiles. And so anyone that's not Jewish is a Gentile. So unless you are Jewish, have Jewish blood, you are a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. So that covers everybody. Anyway, so he says, should we conclude that Jews are better than others? He says, no, not at all. Because we've already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. And we looked at this verse the very first week. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous. Not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Again, this is what we talked about week one. Like if you're like, well, maybe I... No, there is no one. Paul is not leaving any room for like a little asterisk and say, well, maybe I squeak in there. No one. He goes on and says, their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Yeesh. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. And who is he talking about? He's talking about us, everyone. Like, again, murderers aren't like, hey, I wonder if someone could show me why I should do this. No, it's natural. It's part of our sin. And, you know, maybe you haven't actually killed someone, but Jesus says, you know, your thoughts, you can murder someone by hating someone else. And we'll get to that next month. And so this whole idea is like, we are miserable people. We are sinners. And even Paul acknowledged, we looked at that first week too. Paul was like, man, every time I want to do, and I'll do this the right way. Every time I wanted to do the right thing, I did the wrong thing. And he says, every time I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that wrong thing, he would do the wrong thing. And like he was going back and forth and never chose to do the right thing. And he's like, who will save me from this? Because he was saying, what a miserable person I am. And that's who we are. We are miserable people. So Paul goes on in in chapter 3 here and says, obviously the law applies to them to whom it was given. For its purpose was to keep people from having excuses and to show people that the entire world is guilty before God. Again, we talked about the law, basically the rules, doing what's right. And the law was given, but the whole point of these rules that were given to the Old Testament Jews were to show that you can't do it. Just to prove to them, to us, that you can't get to God by doing, by being good enough. And he says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. And that's what we looked at in week two. We are helpless. That was the passage there. He goes on and says, but now, so before we had this rules and the rules were just there to show us you can't do it. We are not good enough. And he says, if you could keep every rule, then yeah, that might be a good argument. But we can't. We can't even keep one. Like, we screw up all the time. And again, I talked about a couple of weeks ago, people that are like, oh yeah, I keep the Ten Commandments. That's why God's going to let me into heaven. I'm like, that's cool. Can you name three of them? Most people can't even name three of the Ten Commandments. I'm like, so how are you keeping these commandments to get your way to God if you don't even know what they are? And Paul is saying, like, the law just shows us we can't do it. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Paul says, look, God is showing us a way that we can do this without having to try to be good enough. And it was written long ago, and we can go through, and actually we did a series that's not on the slides. We did a series called Foretold. We looked at the different prophecies and the different things that were talking about Jesus and how he was going to come and rescue everyone. And he says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And that's this week's passage. And then he goes on in verse 23 and says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." So we're all sinners. That was week one. "Yet God in His grace," remember that word, "freely makes us right in His sight." He did it. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. What's the penalty for our sins? The penalty for our sins is death. We have been freed from death through Jesus. "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. And that was last week, that we have been offered forgiveness. So anyway, that's how all those pieces fit together in Romans chapter 3. Because the rescuer is calling. It's available. So, in our series, we did a series called Duplicate a number of years ago, talking about what does it look like to share the good news. And there was this thing we did from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We already looked at Romans 6, 23. But I just want to break it down. Just to, again, what I would call breaking news in one verse. If we had to take this whole series and put it into one verse, it would be this one verse, Romans 6, 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And as I was running through this earlier, I realized that the colors are not showing up the way I'd like. But the first part of this breaking news, is sin. The wages of sin. So we are sinners. Sin is the problem, right? That's week one. The wages of sin is death. So sin, death. And we talked about that week one as well. Because of our sin, we are now dying eternally. We are stuck, separated from God. But then he says, the free gift of God. So we have a free gift because we can't do it on our own, because we're helpless. So God had to do it for us. That's what a gift is. It's not something you earn. You with me? I hope all this is coming together. Here's honestly what I hope. I hope you're like, didn't we already say that like 8 times throughout this series? Then yes, you got it. Because we are. Like, this is the point. The free gift of God. So it's a gift that we have to receive. And then he goes on and says, the gift of God is eternal life. And this is the hope. Sin, death, gift, life. It's a gift from God we need to receive that gives us eternal life, that brings us back into a relationship with God, that brings us to heaven for eternity with God rather than being separated from God. Why? How did that happen? Because we're forgiven. We've been forgiven because Jesus did what we couldn't do. That's how we get eternal life. Sin, death, gift, life, Jesus. It is all through Jesus, through Christ Jesus our Lord, by believing in what Jesus did for you. That is how we get hope. That is how we have life. That is how we are forgiven. That is how all this works out. Sin, death, life, Jesus. So you've got the story. And again, I said the very first week of this series, if you've already chosen to follow Jesus, to believe in what He's done on the cross for you, like, I hope you're not like, oh, this is boring. I hope you're like, yeah, this is what it's all about. This is why it matters. And frankly, sin, death, gift, life, Jesus, is something that you can take anywhere you go and tell other people about what Jesus has done for them. The breaking news is, how will you respond? Each week we've talked about where we are and how we're stuck. And how we're stuck in our sin and we can't earn our way to God. So Jesus did it for us. And today, the rescuer is calling. How will you respond? And so what I want to do, as I said, if the call is coming out, are you going to answer? Are you going to answer? Because Jesus is saying, I am calling, I'm ringing through, and you're going, nah, I'm okay. I'd prefer, because essentially that's what you're doing. I'd prefer to stay lost. I'd prefer to be off the trail. I'd prefer to be in trouble, to be on my way to hell. And let me also very clearly say, not making a decision is a decision. Don't let anybody, don't even go like, yeah, I don't know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, you've made a decision at that point not to do something. If I give you a ticket for a plane, and you're in not the waiting room, what do they call that? You're at the gate, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get on the plane or not. As long as you are sitting on that at that gate going, I don't know, you are not taking the flight. You with me? Like, that plane, and of course, depending on how long you take, the plane takes off. And you can't go, yeah, I'm still considering. No, it's too late. And I will say, when you die, it is too late. So don't allow that to be the like, oh, I mean, I certainly want you to think about this. This is not like something you're just like, oh, I don't care. He said this thing. But don't think that not making a decision is a good answer, because it's not. You have made a decision at that point. So the question is, will you answer? And here's what I want to say is, how do you respond? If we are supposed to respond to this message, how do you do that? How do I do it? If you're like, yes, I realize that I am a sinner and I am helpless and I cannot earn my way back to God and Jesus died for me and I need to respond. I want eternity with God. I want to be in heaven. I don't want to be suffering in hell. I don't want to be stuck in my sin. I want hope. I want to be able to go, you know what? This life might be rough, but I have something much better ahead of me. How do you do that? And I want to give you some steps. Step one, believe. Step one, believe. And the band is going to be coming up now. We are told to believe in what Jesus did. And I'm just going to show you some passages. As you can see, there's quite a few there. But here's one from Acts chapter 16. This is the story, and if you know the story in the book of Acts there, you guys can get this out of here too. If you know the story in the book of Acts, there's a spot where Paul got imprisoned with a bunch of followers of Jesus. And instead of complaining, they spent the night praying and worshiping God. And miraculously, God opened the prison doors. And so there's this moment where it says right here, the jailer called for lights and ran into the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Because they were like, what is going on? What did God do here? And he says to them, he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This jailer saw what God was doing, had done in Paul and Silas's life, and said, what do I need to do? How do I do this? How do I earn this? And what was Paul's response? He says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. He said, believe. He didn't say, hey, go out and do good things. He didn't say, make sure that you're nicer than your neighbor. He didn't say, go to church every once in a while. He says, believe and you will be saved. And he says, along with everyone in your household. And just in case you're wondering, this wasn't Jesus or Paul saying that if you come to Jesus, your whole family comes to Jesus automatically. That is not true. Because he goes on and says, and he shared the word of the Lord, the gospel message, the good news with him and with all who lived in his household. And so it was an issue of believing, not doing, not earning, not working, but believing. Over in Acts chapter 2, there's this moment where Peter is speaking. This Jesus had just gone to heaven and the church was just getting started. And he was sharing the story, basically what I just shared with you all series long. And he shares the story of what Jesus did for them. And it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. And just so you know, we talked about this idea last week. Like when he says repent and turn from your sins, he doesn't say go be good. He's just saying recognize that you're a sinner and believe. That's what Peter is saying here to the crowd. And then he says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And why does he say be baptized? Because baptism is an outward expression of what God has done in your heart. He wasn't saying get baptized and you go to heaven. He's saying let baptism, that's just a sign that you have made that decision. Over in John, the disciples of Jesus were watching him do incredible things. And he's like, well, Jesus, how are you doing this? He says, I'm doing this because God has done something incredible in me. And they say, well, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work that God wants from you. Do you get this? He is telling his followers. They're like, how do we do this? What do we do? He says, there's only one thing that you should do. He says, believe in the one he has sent. He's saying, believe in me. Believe. And then there's this passage that you're probably familiar with. We sing a song about it almost literally word for word. But the classic John 3:16. And Jesus is speaking to a guy at night. His name was Nicodemus. And he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." God loved us so much that he didn't say, "I'm just leaving you in your sin." He didn't send us to hell. No, he sent his own son to the cross. He said, gave his one and only son. How whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life. He says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come in and say, I'm going to get everybody. No, Jesus came to save the world. And he goes on and says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. About belief, believe, believe, believe. He says, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Jesus is saying to this guy Nicodemus, he's saying, look, not making a choice, not making a decision is a decision, because we are already condemned. We are on our way to hell right now. But we are offered something through Jesus. Over in Mark, the very last chapter of the book of Mark, and we've been looking at the very first chapter of the book of Mark when we saw the word good news and gospel. It says, and then Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the euangelion. Preach the good news, the gospel to everyone. He says, tell everyone about this message. He says, Sean, get up in front of this platform, in front of this congregation, in front of these people online listening and watching, and tell them the good news. Tell them about what Jesus has done. Because anyone who believes will be saved. And again, he has baptized in there. It doesn't mean you believe and when you get baptized, then you're saved. He's saying you believe and then baptism is a way you show it. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. The rescue call is being made. And the first step, how do you respond? You believe. That's step number one. Step number two, there is no step number two. There is nothing else we have to do to receive eternity with Jesus. There is nothing else we can do. We simply believe. So the call is going out. We're all hikers lost. And are we going to answer the call? Are you going to answer the call? Or are you just going to ignore it and continue lost? And that hiker, if he never made its way back or never was rescued, he would have died. And unfortunately, if we don't answer that call, that's what we have to look forward to. That's what you have to look forward to if you don't respond to the call of Jesus. And it's simply believing. So the breaking news is, how will you respond? So we've got these papers. We've been doing these news flash headlines all series long, and I'd like every one of you to grab one. There's one around you somewhere, on your row or the row behind you. If you could each make sure you have one, please, because this is important. This matters, even if you're like, I don't really want to fill out a stupid paper. I don't really care. Pick up a stupid paper. Just hold one, please. And each week we've been asking you to kind of respond to what we've been talking about. And this week, as you can see off to the side there, the title says, I've decided to follow Jesus. And then it says, use this space to the left to anonymously share when and or where you made the decision to follow Jesus. Then place this paper face down in the basket out in the lobby, and we'll have these on the wall next week when you come for Easter. Some things to question, you can write down is like, how old were you? Where were you? Who led you to Jesus? When did this happen? Things like that you can write down on this paper. And so, unlike the last few weeks where we said do that as we leave, I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. But before you write this down, if today you want to respond to the message of Jesus, if today you feel like, you know what, I need to do this. I need to answer the call. I need to believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he died in my place to save me from an eternity in hell. And if that's you today, I want you just to simply write the word today on this piece of paper. And so, She's going to play. I assume you can hear the music out there. Go ahead and take a few minutes. And if you don't have a pen, I mean, Mackenzie, maybe we can get some pens and markers out to people. I probably should have planned ahead for that part. But write down your story. You know, maybe like, oh, when I was little, my mom told me about Jesus and I didn't want to go to hell. Maybe I was with my grandma. But maybe all you need to write is one word. And that word is today. To ask you to pray with me, and we'll do the church thing. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and if you wrote today on your paper, I just want to lead you in a little prayer right now. You can just pray this quietly, but this is that acknowledgement that you believe. This is telling Jesus, yes, I believe. And it simply goes like this: Jesus, I recognize, I realize that I am a sinner. And Jesus, I realize that I am helpless to earn my way back to you. And my sin is separating me from you for eternity. But Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to take my sin, to forgive me, to offer me a hope for eternity. And that's it. It's simply making that prayer your prayer. And I'm going to do another churchy thing, but if you guys keep your eyes closed and your head bowed, like, if you made that decision, if you wrote today on your paper, would you hold that paper up a little bit? Just so we know that you've made the decision to follow Jesus, to change your heart for eternity. If you wrote today on your paper, anybody else? Let's all pray together. God, thank you so much for eternity that just entered into the hearts of people in this room. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offered that was received today. Thank you, God, that there is hope through Jesus, and it's simply through believing. And I thank you for those that made that decision this morning. God, I pray for the rest of us who did not raise that paper, did not raise that hand. God, I pray, and I know your heart beats this way so much, that those people that did not raise their hand, that did not make the decision to follow you today, I pray that it was because they've already made that call. Because they've already made the choice to believe in what Jesus did on the cross. So I thank you so much for what you have offered to us. I thank you that we simply need to believe in Jesus because you did all the work already. Thank you for the message of the gospel, for the good news of Jesus. And thank you that we get to celebrate that good news through communion. That we get to share a reminder, a beautiful object lesson of what you did on the cross for us. And so as we celebrate this communion right now, God, break our hearts. Remind us of what you did. Remind us of why this coming Friday is called Good Friday. Because of the good news of Jesus and his death on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.